Welcome into the In the Money podcast for KeelanSelect.com for Sunday, December 28th. We usually do these for a Saturday card. Tom Leach, along with Jim Goodman, Keelan's Director of Wagering Development. And the best card was this one at Santa Anita on Sunday. They got pushed back from Friday because of the bad weather in Southern California. So, Jim, we've got three grade ones in the late pick four that we're going to start taking a look at in race eight. So a couple of nice ones, grade ones, but seven furlongs, one for the boys, one for the girls on this first card after Christmas at Santa Anita that has become the tradition there. And it's a nice challenge to go at this because I think you might be – I don't think it's going to be especially short, all short prices. I think you could catch something in there somewhere at least once. So let's see what we can do for the folks, Jim. Who do you like in the first leg, the grade one La Brea, three-year-old fillies at seven furlongs?
Well, normally you're looking at short fields in California, so we don't do a lot of California handicapping. But these, obviously, this opening day, so they pushed the box and got a lot of entries. So they got 11 horses in this race. I thought George Weaver's horse, 5G, with Red Ortiz, shipping up from Gulfstream, very impressive win at Gulfstream Park Oaks in March. Now, she's been off since then. Three-year-old filly can change a lot from March until December. Obviously, they had some issues getting her back to the races, but she was really good in Gulfstream. They tried her on the turf and aqueduct, and now they figured out what she's going to do, and she's a sprinter, and a 90 buyer holds up very well against these. Can't single her. I think there's some other horses in here. Probably the most impressive individual race was Formula Rosa for Mark Glatt. At Del Mar on August 3rd, had a 98 buyer, went wire to wire, went off at 1-5 that day. And then they threw her into a grade three, and she didn't run that well. They gave her a little time off, so Mike Smith takes this one. I think she's got a big shot in here. Her last for Riley Mott. Shipping from Churchill out here for this race, interestingly enough, to get a grade one. And maybe he thinks that the waters are not quite as deep in California. And this horse ran well at Churchill last time out. This is Riley Mott's first time with her. So Ortiz takes them out. And at 6-1, I'm going to throw her in there. And then Usha is the Baffert horse I'm going to use in here. She didn't run well the Raven Run at Keeneland. But on the West Coast, she's been extremely impressive with two back-to-back wins at Del Mar. So I'm going to stop there. If I went one more, I can't believe these two horses, Artisma and Magnificat, are 15-1 and 20-1 off that last race. But apparently that last race was not that strong. So they ran 1-2 in that race. If you wanted a price, I would use one of them.
I took Her Laugh on top for Riley Mott. I think the racing's so good in Kentucky right now that you're facing tough fields in these allowance and maiden races in Kentucky. And so that horse coming off a best buyer figure off a long layoff and now heading out to try a grade one suggests some confidence for the Riley Mott barn. And he hits at 29% with the second start off this kind of layoff. I like that the horse shipped out early. And I thought in that return race, I went back and watched it, and she was closing into a fast pace, and the winner didn't stop. So I thought that was maybe a little better race than it looked on paper because she got up and ran well despite having to close into a fast pace. Formula Rosa, the nine, first two races were wins with high buyer figures, then second to Sweet Azteca, so I think she's probably the one to beat, the nine. Usha for Baffert. Hernandez taking off the six brilliantly to ride this one kind of pushed me in the direction of this one. I'm going to use brilliantly also because Pratt takes the ride, and it's the second start off the layoff, and it's Baffert. But I wasn't all that impressed with what Usha did in the Raven Run, but going back and watching it, she didn't get the best start, was kind of rushed up, so maybe you can give her a little bit of a forgiveness there. And then 5G I'll put on the ticket as well. So I ended up, and by adding brilliantly, the other Baffert didn't want Pratt to beat me. So I'm going to end up going one more deeper than I originally planned in here and go five deep, take Her Laugh on top. The San Gabriel is the next race, a grade three, second leg of the late pick four 3 and up at a mile and an eighth on the turf. I love Suchet in here for John Sadler. Really had a breakout performance in her or in his fourth U.S. start. Dominated a race that started the Breeders' Cup undercard on November 1st. Loaded all the way down the backside and into the turn, but just relaxed. And then once they hit the button, she took off and won easily and just exploded through a hole. This is a field with no real standout in here, so I'm going to take one that's improving. And I like Suchet a lot. I'm going to single Suchet, but if I went deeper, I would look at Stay Hot, just with a 7-3-3-0 record from 7 starts at Santa Anita. And then Mondego, the 2 at 8-1 gets Pratt, and the 3 Endlessly at 6-1 gets Rispoli. So those two riders on that turf course out there always have to be respected, but no standouts with either one of those two, so I'm going to lean hard on Suchet. How'd you see the San Gabriel?
Pretty strong single, 6-1 there. That's I'm impressed. I thought there were 5 or 6 horses in here that really I couldn't separate. Some of the horses that you mentioned, including Mondego and Endlessly, but also Astronomer for Simon Callahan. This horse has a pocket full of 90 buyers plus a couple of 99s back. The distance may be a question mark for him. He's probably better at a mile, but I thought he's extremely consistent. Cabo Spirit has some 97s and 99s in his pocket. So I wound up going all here. You're going to single, I'm going to go all, because I couldn't separate the top 5 or 6 horses. I kept adding horses and adding horses and trying to subtract horses to get it down to a reasonable number, and I just decided to go very, very slim later on in the sequence. So I'm going to go all in here.
Let's move on to race 10. It's the Grade 1 Malibu. They could call it the Grade 1 Baffert Stakes. It's got a bunch of them in here. 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds. And which Baffert did you take on top, or did you go to somebody else?
I took Barnes on top. I thought the race in the Perryville was extremely impressive. He came off a race at Parks where he wasn't that impressive in the Gallup Mob at 2-5. And so they didn't bet him quite as heavily in the Perryville, but he seemed to love the 7 furlongs. It's the second win at 7 furlongs. And gave him a little time off. He's been off a couple months. Ortiz takes him out back, and I think he is the best Baffert in here, just has faced the best competition. Cornucopian is interesting to me, but hasn't run since April. Midland Money hasn't run against the same quality that Barnes has. And then Go Oriented, who is the second Baffert I'm going to use. Not sure about shortening up to 7 furlongs after being at a mile and an eighth with his best race in the Haskell. So I'm just going to go 9-10 in here for the 2 out of the 5 Baffert horses.
I ended up taking Cornucopian on top over Barnes. It was one of those two for me, and I ended up on Cornucopian, thinking I might get maybe a little better price. But smashing debut at Oaklawn with a 101 buyer figure, and then was rushed into the Arkansas Derby and paid the price for that, and then got upset at short odds up in New York. And then they just – he was off the Derby trail at that point, and so it looks like they just regrouped. But the fact that they come back in this very ambitious spot, and he's seemingly training very well for Baffert, makes me think that Baffert's confident in this one. So I'm going to play that hunch and go Cornucopian on top of Barnes, who seems best around one turn. And the last 2 7 furlong races for Barnes have been sensational. The 97 buyer in the Perryville, and then 100 3 starts back up at Saratoga. So I think he is most definitely the one to beat. I could probably stop there and be comfortable. I did add Midland Money to my ticket. I was kind of between that one and Goal Oriented, and it's the third start off a break. And adding Blinkers maybe causes this one to go to the front and try to take it on the front end. So I'm going to add that one to the ticket, but when I give out my ticket, if you're looking for a place to cut back, I think you could, from my perspective on my ticket, just go Cornucopian and Barnes and leave out Midland Money. But I'm going to include Midland Money on my ticket with the equipment change, thinking that might help a little bit. The 11th race is the Grade 1 American Oaks for 3-year-old fillies, mile and a quarter on the turf. To tell you what I think of just the overall group here, I took a long look at Cliffs off a first-level allowance win at Churchill Downs. Again, tough allowance races at Churchill, so sometimes those are like low-level stakes. And I think Cliffs ran well up at Saratoga, so I think she could be dangerous in this spot. I ended up taking the European Invader at Lisa on top the 10, just being Group 1 placed in Europe and having a lot of Group 1 experience, and that seems to be quite a class edge on this group. I think, Jim, by this point, you know I'm not going to let Totally Justified beat me, so I'm going to have her on the ticket some way, because I've tried to catch her multiple times, and more often than not, unsuccessful. But she's changed barns, and I know Rusty Arnold was high on her. For whatever reason, it never really clicked. So maybe the change of scenery will work. We'll see. This one's been chasing some good ones. The thing that also intrigued me was Juan Hernandez taking the mount on this horse, because it's not like he's, you know, picking up a mount here for Baffert or Glad or one of the Southern California trainers. And that intrigued me a little bit. And then I liked Will Then, the 2 off the 88 buyer figure in the grade 3 at Del Mar, getting Pratt. And then I was looking at the rest of the field, and I thought, you know, since I'm going to single that 7 horse in the second leg, I'm just going to go all in here. So that's what I took on my pick 4 ticket. How about you?
Well, I went the opposite. I think it's an extremely weak grade 1. You've got horses in here. I went through them, and you talk about Cliffs coming out of an allowance race and skipping grade 2 and grade 3, and even skipping listed stakes. You've got other horses that can't win grade 3s. So I wound up taking the Foreign Invader at Sela, the one that you liked on top, and I'm going to single her. Richard Baltus brings her over from Europe. She has run in 5 consecutive Group 1s over there. She's been competitive. She hasn't Fallen Angels beaten her 3 times in a row, but she got within a length and a quarter of her in the Matron with a time form of 106. If she runs a 106 time form here, which converts to about an 86 to 90 buyer, she's probably going to win this race. So I thought it was an extremely weak Grade 1 race, and I thought I would just take a stand with her and see what happens.
Can't argue with that thinking. I think I said at Lisa, it's actually, I was you had it right. It's at Sela, and definitely has the class advantage here. So my ticket, I went 5 deep in the first leg, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9. And if you wanted to toss one of those out and save some money, I'd say brilliantly the 6 would be the one. But I'm going to go 5 deep in there, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9. Single the 7, then 5, 8, 9, and then all. It's an $82.50 ticket. I ended up adding one more in that first leg from what I originally planned. So it's a little pricey, but if I'm right on Suchet, that's a 6-to-1. If you get something close to that, if you catch a little price maybe in the last leg. Last week, I think I hit it. Can't remember if your ticket was a winning one or not. I did look up mine. I think I hit.
I had my normal 3 out of 4.
I think I hit, but for $88. So it right. Didn't exactly fill the Christmas stockings up. But anyway, hopefully going a little stronger here with the price and try to catch something. How did you build your pick 4 ticket for Santa Anita?
Well, I was extremely frugal after Christmas. 3, 5, 8, 9 with all. With 9, 10, with 10, and that's only a $44 ticket.
So best of luck as you take one last shot here from our podcast perspective on getting out for 2025 and building the bankroll for 2026. Best of luck if you're playing that Sunday card at Santa Anita or somewhere else the rest of the weekend while you're watching a lot of football that'll be available. And there'll be some good racing next week as well through the end of the 2025 year. So keep your Keeneland Select account fully stocked while you're maybe getting some downtime. You can play the races if you've got some funds in there. For Jim Goodman, I'm Tom Leach, and that is the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.